So we're starting cold.
Oh, oh. What? We just started?
Yeah.
Awkward.
Yeah. Holly.
I just like to.
No, you do it during the show. It's so funny. And this is my fault because I sometimes don't have a chance to warn you all that we're going on. And so I'll turn the mic. Well, there goes my dick. Are we working in college radio? Like,
we are professionals.
So that was my email. I have to voice a 15-second commercial. But on the show, like, I'll be like, it's Hot 101.5, and then you'll hear. And Holly's like, yes, it is!
Wait, but on the show, what you only hear is this. That's what you hear. I just have to pull it over. But I was trying to be comedic when I was like, no, it wasn't funny. Fine, fuck you guys.
Well, this is a Miguel and Holly Uncensored, and we have a new intro.
Oh.
Ready?
Yeah.
Y'all in the studio, or Holly, Scott, turn your headphones down, because it's going to be real loud in your ears.
Okay.
All right, this is thanks to Boss Will.
Unscripted. Unshackled. Uncouth. What you're about to hear is for mature ears only. It's Miguel.
Ricky.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're a dumbass. Have a wonderful day, okay? Bye-bye now.
Holly.
I finally got boobs and a butt back.
And Scotty the Body.
Am I not as cool and good-looking as I think I am?
The Miguel and Holly Uncensored Podcast.
No, my tongue feels too big today.
Only from Hot 101.5.
Give me Kit Kat or give me death.
Tampa Bay's new hit music.
Oh, girl.
My gosh, I love that.
I love it.
Look at that. We sound like real broadcasters.
I know.
Wow. Look at that. So shout out to Boss Man Will for doing that. This is Miguel and Holly Uncensored. We do the morning show on Hot 101.5 in Tampa Bay, Florida. If you may not live here and listen, obviously my name is Miguel Fuller.
My name is Holly O'Connor.
I'm Scotty the Body.
All right. I wanted to start off with a big thank you to you and the Miguel and Holly fam. If you listen to the show on air on Hot 101.5, if you listen on the Hot 101.5 app, or if you listen to the podcast, because we've recently hit this stride on the podcast where I check probably once a week ratings and reviews of the podcast on iTunes, and you have just exploded with reviews, and I can't even read all of the new ones that we have because there have been so many great reviews. So thank you, and please continue to do so.
That's awesome!
But here's the latest one. This is from WROD416, and this is when you listen from the iTunes podcast app. You can rate and review. This podcast is by far my favorite. It's so genuine, funny, sincere, humble, and most of all, Miguel, Holly, and Scotty share so much of themselves. This really makes you feel like part of the NMNH fam. They keep me company on my way home across the Howard Franklin into Tampa every Friday. Thank you guys for all your hard work and dedication, XOXO.
Wow.
We have another one from Jackie Carney who says, girl, this podcast is the absolute bomb. I've cried with Holly. I've asked the hard-hitting questions like Miguel does to investigate my life. I miss producer Ryan, but the show needed a Scotty. I adore you all. Thank you for making me feel less crazy with my hippie shit.
That's fantastic.
Damn.
And one more from Linson V. Love your podcast. I used to live in Winter Haven and was able to catch your show going into work, but moved to Orlando recently. I listen to your podcast because you all are honest and talk about silly, funny things, but sometimes you get raw and talk about serious things. Love the relationship the three of you have and that you can be so open and honest. I follow you all on Instagram and love you all, Linson V.
Thank you
so much for that. That was awesome.
Awesome.
So I just appreciate that so much,
right?
Feeling like a real morning show that actually does stuff, because there are so many times that I look at other morning show people across the country's Instagram, or I'll listen to their podcast or whatever, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I feel like we're not doing enough, and then you and the Miguel and Holly fam help me to quiet that voice down, so thank you very much.
Oh, good.
Holly, what's going on with you?
Well, just living my life.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how much you want me to get into what's going on with me. I don't know.
Whatever you want to. Do you want to skip you, or do you want to?
No.
Well, I know that we didn't have time to chat about it on the show today. I did want to bring up, you want to do acupuncture?
Yeah.
Because that just is so out of my comfort zone and knowledge of anything.
I know. Well, same. I other than they stick tiny pins in you, I don't know what it's about.
Right.
But I feel like, I mean, it's based in something. I don't really have a lot of background in it. But, well, here, let me give you a tiny bit of backstory. So somebody, I don't remember who, on Twitter, asked me about what number on the Enneagram personality circle I was. And I was like, huh? I had no idea what that even was. Then I went down a rabbit hole of finding out about Enneagrams. There are 9 personality types. And I'll be damned if this is not right on the freaking money.
Mm.
So I'm a 9. The girl that actually messaged me was like, I bet you're a 2. Which at first blush, I look like a 2. Mm-hmm. But I'm a 9. And I have a 1 and a 2, like, sort of in the background. Anyway, having said that, I'm going through all this stuff about what being a 9 is. And it's so fascinating. And I just thought it was my codependency that I'm in therapy for, where I put others' needs in front of my own. And I've always noticed that when I'm part of a friend group, I always kind of take on the persona of the others around me. And I just figured it's my people-pleasing thing. But it turns out it's solidly a 9 thing to do, to not really have a sense of self, to just take on other people, like a chameleon, like to become as a people pleaser, as trying to acquiesce and keep the peace, because the 9 is called the peacemaker, or the peacemaker. So in order to keep the peace, because the thing that I dislike the most is arguments or conflict, which is why I have such a hard time with confrontation. And so I will do almost anything to keep the peace. And that includes putting my own needs on the back seat, which also goes hand in hand with codependency. And I'm just like, over here, I'm like the mind blown emoji.
Wow.
Like, damn. So here's how acupuncture comes in. So I'm reading about, you know, how much I dislike conflict. And I'm coming up on a time in my life, like within, I'm talking like within the next month, or even probably a couple weeks, where I need to confront someone about something.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm basically panicked about it because it's making me so uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes right at the right time that I should learn about myself in this way, that I hate conflict so much that I'm willing to go along with other people just in order to not get into a conflict.
Right.
And on the website I was reading, it was like, well, here's some pressure points you can, you know, or acupressure to really sort of loosen up that, you know, uncomfortability muscle and get you more ready to have not an aggressive, but like an active conversation with someone.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what I do. I'm a peacemaker. People like me make great mediators or negotiators, or, you know, we see all sides of a situation and we can empathize with them. So I'm like, okay, I got it. But the problem is when I do that, I won't challenge other people, because even if it's something that I want, in order to avoid conflict, I just won't challenge it. Well, I'm going to have to challenge someone on something. And I'm scared, like legit. Like, I just have fear. It's uncomfortable. I'm scared about it. I have anxiety about it. And it's fucking me up.
Right.
So I thought maybe I should try some acupuncture to sort of help me along. No?
No. So does it releases?
I don't know. I don't know what it does. Mm-hmm. I was just looking at this article and it said acupressure. And then it also mentioned acupuncture. And I was like, I'm down, because here's what the one thing I do know about acupuncture. We used to work with a girl here on Hot 101.5 who had a very difficult time getting pregnant, not getting pregnant, but staying pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
She went through a lot of miscarriages. And so whenever she would like try again for it, she went to an acupuncturist, and whatever the acupuncturist did, like, she would pretty much conceive right away after that.
Oh, wow.
She would like swore by it. She's like, you know, I always trust the acupuncturist to get me and my body prepared for pregnancy, and then it would happen.
Huh.
And then it was a whole different story about, you know, remaining pregnant. And luckily, you know, she's had a successful pregnancy and has a child now, but that's always what I remember. And I was like asking her a bunch of questions about it. And she said, whatever it does, it works.
Now, did she say if it was painful or not? Or
she said no, it was not.
No? I mean, because it's like,
it's very small, like very small. Like, I don't think it's like a little bit of pressure. I haven't had it done, but we have a very close friend in our family that used to do it all the time. Like, that was her business. Like, she did acupuncture.
Oh, like, oh, she gave
acupuncture. She gave acupuncture. Oh, wow. And like, she almost did it to me a couple times, because like different things, either with skin problems or stuff like that. But I know it's like, they are so tiny that it's like barely anything that you feel, if anything. Sometimes you don't even feel it.
Wow. Wait, and so did she say that it could help with...
I might have actually had it done in my forehead or something. I don't remember. But, yeah. Wait, what?
You don't remember if you had acupuncture? I feel like that's a pretty, like...
There was a time in my life where, like, just like a little, this is a side note, tangent. I was going through so many different skin problems with my face, and I was just so frustrated with it. I was willing to do anything to get through it.
In there.
And so one of the things was, she was like, well, let's do acupuncture. I'm sure, like, there was one point where I got, like, a needle in my head. Like, in the middle of my forehead or something. I'm like, I don't know why. Maybe it's a fake memory, but I'm pretty sure there was one point where I had like a little tiny needle on my forehead.
What age were you? Do you remember?
This was between anywhere from like 11 to like 15, like around those ages. I remember like fifth grade, that's when it really started to suck. All through middle school, I was like, could this please stop? And then finally, like halfway through high school, I was like, oh my gosh, is that light at the end of the tunnel?
Did you ever get an Accutane?
I almost did. I went to the dermatologist for it. We had it all set up. I was about to sign up, and my parents like... It was before it was pretty mainstream. It was like about, it seemed a little too risky. And I was really young. I was fifth grade, sixth grade.
That's too young.
Oh my God.
We couldn't figure out what was wrong with my skin. Like I had, I don't even remember what it was called, but my face was just red, like beet red all the time. And I'd break out in acne. I was like 12 years old.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm so tired of this. I would go home like just crying of like, I don't want to go to school. I don't want people to see me because I was just so embarrassed.
Would people make fun of you?
People would make fun of me indirectly. Mm-hmm. So it's like that little shit where
they
you think
never
it's funny.
Think that you know, but you know.
Yeah, it's like, like either like, oh, Rudolph, or even like the question of like, why is your face so red? And like, if it's in front of a bunch of people, like to me, I'm trying to do anything so you don't say that.
Right.
I'm trying to do anything so you don't notice that, even though obviously it's there. And so that's why I am the way I am now, where it's like, I'm so tired of caring what you think about how I look and all that stuff. Because I went through it for so many years of like, oh gosh, I don't want people to like point that out. And even to this day, like if I have, let's see, like acne breaking out or something like that, and like a little kid would be like, what's that in your face? Like, I'm like, it's still almost a little bit of a trigger. I'm like, can we just not? Like, I don't want to do that.
I'm curious because you said that because of what you went through with that, you don't care what anyone says about you now.
I still care, but like it's helped me when I go into situations where I'm like, whatever. You know, I'm much better about how like I look when I'm just going into a situation, how I'm going to approach someone, because at this point I am who I am.
Mm-hmm.
And if like I'm not worried that you're going to point out, honestly, my flaws, which is kind of like a thing I've been working on a lot lately, to be like, I don't care that much about either my face or my other insecurities, where it's like, I can talk openly about it. It is who I am. So,
two questions for you. Do you think that your face issues that you had led to you working out so much now? And two, how has it affected you? Like outside of, you know, like not caring, how did going through that affect you and your personality and your emotional state later on in life?
Well, for my face, that was the reason I started. Like, I started working out when I was in, like, fourth grade, where it's, like, I really started, like, actually working out. And I wasn't lifting weights and all that stuff, but my dad had, like, a, you know, your body weight kind of systems where you could use cables and stuff. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to do this, because I was a little taller and a little huskier than the rest of the kids. And I was like, well, I want to, because I had a good friend at the time who was, like, he was, like, the guy, the popular guy. Mm. So all the girls would talk about him. And I was like, you know, the kid with glasses, my face is all red, I look kind of rough. So I was like, well, this is kind of frustrating. So I started working out, and that was my way of, like, sticking out. If there's something about me, it's like, oh, I was going to be stronger than the rest. I was going to be, you know, better looking physically than the rest if it could be down to my body. So, like, even when sixth grade came and I was able to lift weights, I remember, like, going to gym class, and that's what I did. I was stronger than everybody. And then as soon as eighth grade hit, like, I got a gym membership, and I was like, boom, let's get it. That was my way of, you know, being able to just stick out a little bit more. Even though by that time I started to, I guess, get a little more attention from, like, let's say, like, girls at this time, I didn't feel like that guy. I wasn't the guy in class that girls would be, oh, Scott. Like, I wasn't that one. But I was like, you know, that's still that kid of, like, how can I get your attention? And it was by being funny, outgoing in class, ridiculous, athletic, and very strong physically. That was my way.
Holly, how did you deal with it? Because you've talked about, you know, your issues with acne growing up. How did it affect you in school and then later on afterwards?
I would, I remember, I think I was in sixth grade. I first had my first pimples when I was like 8. Mm. And when they took me to a dermatologist like right away, and it just didn't help. But
did they ever say like what was causing it?
No, I don't know. I figured it's bad genes. My mom has struggled with acne, and my grandmother did. I'm pretty sure I don't know. It's just probably hereditary for all I know, but I don't have any answer as to why it got so bad. But I remember crying, and I was just like, I had this fantasy in my head that, because you know how in those like fantasy books or movies or whatever, when people discover they're witches or wizards or whatever, mm-hmm. like you don't discover it until you're like 12 or 13. And then suddenly you're like, oh, whew,
got it.
That's what this has been for. So I would pretend that like that wasn't my real face, that my real face was actually underneath. And I was going to discover that it could come off and be like, then I'd be pretty. I was so excited that was going to happen. It never fucking did, by the way. That was fun. But
blame
J.K.
Rowling.
Harry Potter wasn't even out then. It was just my own thing. But anyway, it impacted everything. It impacts everything. Mm-hmm. It impacts your self-worth and your self-esteem and how you see yourself in the hierarchy of other kids in school. And, well, I'm ugly, so I'm not good enough. Mm. Now, as I went through high school, I always had a good body. Like, I never had body issues. And I would wager in my head. I'd be like, well, I swear, if God could just make me fat, I would trade that for a good face. I'd be like, I would trade anything. But then I would be like, okay, well, at least I have a cute body. But then you're like, oh, I'm a butterface. Oh, she looks real good. Butterface, though. So it's just really tough. And it impacted me all the way. I mean, I never really had a boyfriend. Finally, and I asked you, Scott, about Accutane because I got on Accutane as a senior. And that sort of changed my whole world around because a couple things happened when I was a senior. So going into senior year, I had surgery on my jaw, which I had a terrible underbite. I look like a bulldog. Oh. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was not good. So I had surgery and it corrected that issue. So then I had like a normal bite, like most girls I knew. Mm-hmm. And then my senior year, the acne had just gotten just so, I was like, I'm tired of trying things. I'm tired of trying every like antibiotic, topical cream, home remedy. Like, I'm just tired and can nothing just fix me? So then when I was a senior, the dermatologist was like, all right, we're going to try Accutane, which is, as Scott said, really strong, especially for women. I mean, it's for everybody. Yeah. Like, you have to keep your triglycerides checked while you're on it to make sure they're in healthy range. But also for women, you are not allowed to become pregnant on this medication.
Oh.
Because if you do, your child will have birth defects.
Oh, wow. Period. It's that serious.
Or it will cause a miscarriage or whatever. Like, it's completely damaging. You can get pregnant.
Right.
But you should not. Like, even the pills in the container, like it's a bubble pack, and every time you pop a pill out, on the other side of the pack is a picture of a pregnant woman with a line through it.
Oh my gosh.
So that you remember, don't you dare get pregnant.
Wow.
So you have to be on birth control, and it's like a requirement for women of childbearing age. So I had to get on birth control, and then I started Accutane, and it was like the miracle. It basically dries up all the oil glands.
Yeah.
And it just stops the production of oil so that you don't, there's nothing for the acne to grow on anymore. Mm-hmm. And it was like if I had a moment that was like, you know, my face melted off and I became pretty, it was with Accutane. And I was like, holy shit. Oh my God. Like, my face looks good.
Oh.
Like, the trade-off is that you're super dry. And so my lips were like peeling off and my face was peeling off. But I didn't care. I was like, woo. Some of my hair fell out. I did not get.
You're like,
fun.
I look good, girl.
I have a lot of hair. I can lose some, whatever. So it's good. And then so that way you do like a round of it. You only do I don't know, maybe like 4 or 5 months, and then you have to stop because it's just so extreme. And so that really helped boost my self-esteem because finally I felt normal. I felt like I belonged with other humans. And I know that sounds like really dramatic, but it's like that way day to day. Like when you go to the bathroom and you realize you have this huge whitehead on your chin and you're like, oh, my God. Like it's like. You just want to die. So then you like pop it, but then it's like oozing. And then you're like trying to like thing with your
red all day.
God. And then it just comes back because it's like dirty. And Oh, God, it was awful, awful.
What was it like back then if you were having, like, a bad flare-up and you knew that you had, like, a social obligation or you had to meet people that you didn't know? Can you talk me through both of you? Like, what was that like? Because I didn't deal with those issues growing up, so I had, like, pimples every now and then, but I didn't have that, the acne. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't compute in my head what that must have felt like when you're in high school and you're dealing with that, or whenever you're dealing with the flare-up and you're going to meet new people, or you're in a new situation with people you don't know, or like the first day of school.
Oh,
like,
God.
What was that like? Like, what would go through your head? Either of you.
Go ahead. I did, because I feel like I blocked out some of that.
Now that I think back, I definitely did.
Do you feel like you have missing, like, because I'm like, I know it was terrible, but I can't even quite remember.
Mm. I remember just dreading any moment that I had. Like, if I had, let's say, like, those moments where you go in, you notice you have a pimple, or you wake up and you're like, are you serious?
Yeah.
Like, there was days, especially when I was younger, when I would literally, like I just said, like, I would go home, like, begging my parents, like, I don't want to go to school. Please, just don't let me go through this. Because
what would they say when you would say that?
My mom used to feel, that's why I almost went on Accutane, because I would go to the dermatologist like every weekend. Like, hey, like, what could we do? New tropical cream, something. Nothing would work. Nothing. Mm-hmm. And so it's like any situation like that. For me, it's like you walk in, it's like, of course, your attention goes, everyone looked at me. Like, everyone noticed it. Everyone's talking about it. Reality is, it's not the truth. Nobody even pays attention to it. But to me, it was, like, the biggest deal. Like, if I go in, either that would quiet me down, like, because I would do anything. Like, if I was having a bad flare-up, let me just try not to be the attention for that moment.
Yeah.
Because then everyone's going to look at me, and they're going to notice I look ugly today. I know. I don't want that.
Ugh. Yeah.
And so it was definitely those moments, like, or, like, a picture day, like, praying that's like that day would come and maybe it would be a clearer day. Or, like, so thankful that when the pictures came out, they could they did a lot of great editing where it can make your skin look smooth. And
did
look
they?
Good. Oh, yeah.
They would edit your school picture?
Well, they have those,
I forget,
you know,
you're younger than
I was going to say.
I was like, wait, what?
No.
No, that was one of the packages. I remember, like, when they had a package that even could, like, smooth out your skin, like, take away redness. And for me, I was like, oh, thank the Lord.
Yeah.
Like, I will pay extra for that. And they will. And they'll, like, make it, like, a nice smooth skin color. And so my face wasn't red in all these pictures. And that was one of the worst parts, is seeing pictures of myself. When it's like, I can look back now, I even have a picture in my mind of like some, like either a birthday party or something, and we're all hanging out, me and friends, and all I notice is like literally my face is like beet red. And I'm like, it would always be the same question. Were you in the sun? And I just lie. Yeah, I was in the sun.
I know this is not where we're going, but I've never heard that schools did that or photography companies do that.
Yeah, they do it now because when Maya gets school pictures, I see on the thing, it's like, you know, if you want to have the blemish removing package or whatever. Yeah. But it's because it's the new, I mean, it's technology.
I know.
It's available.
I don't like that.
Why?
Because I feel like, especially as a kid, it's like teaching you like, oh, we'll just clean it up in post-production. Like that, like when you are growing up, like that's who you are. Like that is you. That is you.
No, it's not.
What do you mean?
Acne is not who I identified with.
I know, but like that is a part of your story though. Like that made you who you are.
But
and so to just erase it,
it would have given me so much more joy and happiness that at least I could have a picture and pretend I looked like
that. Yeah, like I know I went through it, but now like back then, if that would have been the one that people saw, that's crushing. Because even if they don't even think about it, to me, that's the only thing they think about.
Ugh.
I'm like, all they notice is how beat up my face looks.
Yeah.
So if I could get a clear picture, praise the Lord. Thank you for editing.
Yeah. I feel like, too, I mean, this continued. I have had waves of I'm going through it right now, actually. I'm having a really bad FaceTime for the first time in a while because you're only really supposed to do Accutane like two rounds of it. Maybe three. I've probably done seven. Like, I've done a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Spread out since high school, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
The last one was in 2016, and it was work like a dream, just like previous times. Mm-hmm. And I'm honestly considering going to the dermatologist now and asking for it.
Could you? Would they allow you to?
I would assume so.
Right.
I mean, I would have to ask him.
I mean, what does it do to your body since you've done it that many times?
I don't know. That's the thing I have to ask. All I know is that they look at your triglycerides, but... Anyway, in my 20s, I'd canceled a date. I almost called into work And I went to work because I had this, like, my face is so fucked up. I had, and I think it's where, and my mom pointed this out, I think it's on the right side of my face. There's almost like, it's like an acne scar, but it's like a divot, you know, where it's like in a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Or it looks kind of like a crater. And it's kind of big, like right here. And she's like, your face dents in right there. I'm like, thanks, Ma.
Leave it to parents.
But I think that's where I had this, like, Mount Vesuvius of pimples,
mm-hmm.
where it was like, you know, the size of a quarter
mm-hmm.
on my face. And you don't understand. It's so painful.
Mm-hmm.
It hurts so bad. And it's not just like one little pimple with like a boop. There's a little piece of a little white head right there. There's like five or six white heads all clustered up in one gigantic, painful thing on your face. And that was what was going on that day. And no matter how many, like, if you pop them and then you put a compress, it's still bright red and it oozes if you pick at it. And it's like, you can't, you try to cover it up with makeup, but then the makeup kind of slides off and it doesn't really work that way.
Yep.
Like, they make makeup basically for smooth skin. Like, you're supposed to have smooth skin to put makeup on in the first place. And I'm like, well, who the fuck is coming up with this? So I had that and I went to work. This was like, I was legit probably 24. And I was at work. I remember in Findlay, and I was in there, and I was just, I cried before I went to work because I was like, who is even going to take me seriously if I look like this?
Mm.
Like, this is abysmal. And my big boss, my GM, came in, and she was like, oh, having a rough day. I was like, yeah, I look terrible. And she's like, well, you know what? Just do extra eye makeup. Because if you have extra eye makeup on, maybe they won't look at that as much. And I was like, okay, I'll try that. I'll work on that. I'll try that. I'll try anything. So I did. So to literally, I've never talked about this. To this day, if I'm having a bad face day, I make sure I have extra eye makeup on so that you look at those instead of.
Well, does it make you feel better?
Yeah, it works a little bit, yeah.
That's good. Hey, whatever makes you feel better.
I know.
I mean.
I have these, like, and what's happening now, and I believe it's, like, stress and maybe adrenal fatigue from being just, like, having this crazy life shit happening for, like, the past year. But, like. I think it's finally coming out in my face. So it's like on my forehead, I have a lot of active pimples right now.
Mm-hmm.
And on my, where else? Like here, down here. And then I get these big, like here, these big nodules on the side of my neck.
Mm.
Those aren't fun. Those hurt.
Wow.
So I'm just, I might go to the dermatologist again. Pop me back on that Accutane. Come on, girl.
Wow. That is incredible. And I feel like with today's technology, they still haven't been able to determine what causes that.
It can be a lot of different things, I think.
Yeah.
Like I said, stress. I think this is a stress situation for me because stress comes out. This is why it is not bullshit. Like, mental health is not bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
Because whatever's going on in your body internally is going to show up externally.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
That's what happens with my acne. So I think this is partly stress. But for when I was younger, how stressed could I really have been as a kid?
Mm.
I just think I had an overproductive oil gland situation.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like I washed my face twice a day.
Uh-huh.
I had everything. I had all the creams. I had all of the gels, and I had was on the, you know, minocycline and whatever cycline else they had. And nothing really helped until Accutane.
You know, it's so interesting because we all have those things that we deal with that sort of spill over into your adult life. And sort of like with Holly, your acne, and you, Scott, with that, like, my weight has always been that thing for me that I've just been like just so exhausted and even like thinking about. And because it's like an everyday occurrence of like you feel guilty for like wanting bad stuff. And then you're like, but it makes me feel good when I eat it for that moment. And then afterwards, like, you don't feel good. And then you just feel like, for me at least, because I've been doing CrossFit now for like 6 years. And I go in and like I work out and I'm still the last person to do it. And then the coach always goes, well, at least you came through the door. You're better than everybody else that didn't show up. And I'm like, well, yeah, I've been saying that for 6 fucking years. And it's just like, you just get so tired of thinking about it. So I can understand how when it's like what you see right in the mirror, you're just like, oh, my God.
Yeah, you know. You know, it's a different end of the same struggle.
Absolutely. I wanted to bring this up because I haven't been sure on how to talk about this on the radio station because, you know, when we do the radio show, rules of entertainment is that it's supposed to be very concise, to the point.
There's a beginning, middle, and end.
You know what you're talking about. But then sometimes when it comes to live situations, it's hard to, like, talk it out and to be concise because you really don't know. Like, you know the situation, but you're not sure how to make it so, like, nice and clean. One of the things that I've been dealing with recently is this is the longest time since high school that I have been living in one area. So we've been here in Tampa Bay for 5 years, since March of 2015.
Yeah.
That's crazy. That just, like, hit me in the side of the face. Like, when you think about that, 5 years we've been here. Before
I haven't been, we haven't been anywhere. I have not been anywhere since high school for 5 years.
Nope.
That's crazy.
Nope. We've been here that long, 5 years. And with that, I've had, like, different groups of friends in different cities that I've lived in. And usually what tends to happen is because of my upbringing, I love to bring big groups of people together. And so I'll, like, clobble together people from this group, from that group. And it's never, like, my intention of, like, here's my master plan. It's more so like, ooh, I start hanging out with this person. And I like this person from this group. And I'm like, hey, let's go. Come over on Friday night. And I'll have some pre-drinks. We'll all go out and we make this new group. Well, we've had some stuff in my group that over the past, like, year, and it's not my story to tell on things that have happened, but there are people that have, for lack of a better phrase, have left the group chat message.
Oh.
And they have just stopped hanging out. And so I still talk to everybody, but then, you know, a couple will leave because they're mad at this person. And, like, right now in our group, we have this situation where there is a couple that sort of has, like, an open relationship, and we all joke about it. They are very comfortable with it. They've been together for a long time,
and it's well known that they're
open. It's well known. Like, that's open. We joke about it. Like,
is there rules? Are there rules that they follow?
Yes. I don't know what they are because we've never, like, talked about it seriously, but okay. I know that they do have rules about, you know, what you can and can't do in their open relationship. Well, there's another couple that's more traditional, and there was one time we were all together hanging out, and one person from the traditional relationship made a reference that the other couple weren't a true couple because it's open, and that was said probably 6 months ago, and now for some reason about a month or two ago, it came up again. And it sort of has, like, been this riff.
Did they say it again?
I wasn't here when it was said again or when it was brought up. It was when I was out of town for a weekend, and then there was, like, this big fallout. And so now there's, like, all this drama back and forth, and then it's, like, spilling out into other people. And it's just, like, I've never been in a situation where, as adults, we're dealing with this. Because to me, my mantra has always been, listen, my work is draining and tiring. Like, I love what we do, but, like, we produce and we create every day and you give every day, and it's tiring.
Yeah.
And so when I get to the weekend and I'm hanging out with you, like, I don't want to deal with drama because we just dealt with drama at work, in life, figure out events, everything. And so then when we, you know, get to Friday night, I don't want to have to, like, deal with that. I just want to be able to, like, have fun. And so I'm having this really hard time, and I've talked about it with a couple of my friends, of, like, wanting to sort of, like, step away from the friend group for a little bit. But I don't know what that looks like, and I don't know what that means. But I find it sometimes to be draining because, like, that's what the conversation tends to, like, go around of, like, well, they said this, and this person said this, and this person didn't say this, or they did say this, and I'm just like, girl, can we just go drink and have fun, or let's go bowling and have fun, or let's go do something? And it's just really awkward time, and I feel sort of unsure how to make movements and steps in it because I've never been in a group this long before in the same city. Because, like, even my college friends, I was only at Georgia Southern for 2 years, and then I moved to Savannah, and then after a year, I moved to Panama City.
Yeah.
So I haven't been anywhere this long, and I just don't – it just feels I'm sorry, Siri. I'm just going off.
Ain't nobody need you to hear us right now.
So I'm just I'm at a loss. So that's why I said I haven't brought it up on the show, because I don't even know if it's a question of what to do, if it's advice. It's just that's been like weighing on my soul, is sort of the tearing apart of all these people that as of like a year ago, we'd be like, look, we're just one big old happy family. And now it's like, well, what the fuck are we now? And it's just very upsetting. Because I don't.
Would you consider yourself the ringleader of sorts? Because I know that you are someone who likes to plan, and everybody kind of comes to you to figure out what the Friday night plans are, or has that switched? Where do you, in this group, what's your role?
Yes, I would. It's changed a little bit over the past couple months, because there have been a couple of times where I would send out a text in the group and be like, hey, Friday night, this is, because I've learned being the ringleader that you can't throw out suggestions when you have a group of like 10 or 15 people.
Oh, gosh,
you
got to
just say, Friday night, we're doing this. If you want to come, cool. If not. And I got sort of irritated a couple of times, because either no one would say anything and then people would just show up, or people would say, I'm coming, and then not show up. Or it'd be like, well, that sounds like fun, but we're actually going to do this. And it was not like it was a social obligation. It was just because they just didn't want to do what I had suggested, which is fine. Nobody's required to do anything. But when you continue to do that, or if you throw out a suggestion and then the response is like, ugh, we always do that. And I'm like, well, if you want to come with something else, that's cool. Like, that's fine. I don't have to always. Listen, my job is not planning everyone's social life. I'm just trying to get everyone together. So this is what the easy thing is to do. So it's changed a little bit. So I don't really suggest it as much. I sort of let, if Abe, my boyfriend, wants to get everyone together, he'll be the one to be like, hey, what should we do? And I'll be like, well, let's all get everyone to do a movie night or a game night at our house. But you can text everybody, because after the last time when I went and I literally, and I felt like I was like taken back to like high school. Like I went, I got my Publix chicken tenders, I got the buffalo chicken dip, I got the salsa and the chips and the mixers and the drinks, and nobody showed up. It was just Abe and I was like, well, this will be the last motherfucking time I spend my goddamn money getting all this fucking bullshit together for nobody to fucking show up. I'm done.
Wait, when was that?
This was a Franklin Manor night, so it probably was this summer.
Mm.
It was probably the summer when that happened, and I
remember
pissed.
You being pissed one Franklin Manor night about nobody coming, and maybe it was that night too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know what? Actually, now that I remember, I think it was when Abe was out of town. So it may have been this fall. He was out of town, and I called him, and I was like, I'm done. I'm done. He was like, it's fine. Just calm down. I was like, no, look at all this food. Look at all this food. And then when he saw how much food I bought, he was like, oh, yeah, I'd be pissed too. And so I remember that weekend, I was like, well, I'm not talking to nobody.
Yeah.
I'm not messaging nobody. And then, of course, the next day, they were like, hey, come do this. And I was like, fine.
See, oh, man.
But I'm not going to smile while I'm here. I'm be mad.
No, I'll come and leave my sunglasses
Fuck
on.
Fuck you, bitch.
All right, well, the reason I asked that is because I was curious if you could take the traditional couple aside and be like, what's the issue here? What? Because obvious, like, it's very obvious to me they're at fault.
Right.
And
right.
I don't know
absolutely, yeah.
what the problem is
right.
and why they need to be so openly judgy.
Right.
Or maybe they don't even realize they are, but it's coming from somewhere. So obviously they are the linchpin in this whole dramatic scenario.
Right.
What on earth, like, why we need to compare relationships?
Right.
Why on earth would you need to say they don't have a real relationship, the open couple?
Mm-hmm.
Just because a relationship doesn't look like yours doesn't mean that it's not valid.
Right.
And I just wonder what sort of prejudices are deep-seated there, or what type of fears are deep-seated there.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they're fearful that, you know, they're trying to keep up with the Joneses, and I don't honestly know who you're talking about,
mm-hmm.
because it's been so long since I've been any part of your crew that I've lost track of who's even in it. But the but what bothers me is that like, what fear are this other open couple breaching in you that you feel the need to take them down a peg? That goes beyond just like your typical, oh, we're just going to be bitchy for bitchy's sake.
Right.
Why would you comment on someone else's relationship?
Right.
No place.
Right.
So what's going on either in your relationship or in you to the person who actually said it that you feel the need to bring everybody else down? Because hurt people hurt people.
There it is.
So it's squarely on that couple and more so that person in the couple.
Right.
To figure out what the fuck their trauma is.
Yeah. That's true.
So I don't know if you're the ringleader and you could potentially handle that, or maybe someone close to them in the group that doesn't have a vested interest in either side. Because, you know, in groups, well, we're on their side and we're right. on this side.
Right.
Someone's got to be the intermediary and be like, okay, what's going on?
It's true. I think to me, it feels like so much. Because I think if we're just to dig a, just like one little step deeper is I think because I'm so used to, and this is a good and a bad thing, because of how my mom is one of those people that like if you screw her over or if you wrong her once, she done.
Bah.
She's done. And so in my brain, I've always been that way, that like I... As emotional and friendly and loving as I am, if you truly do something to hurt me, I can turn that flip off, that switch off real quick. And I've done it several times in my life. And it's kind of scary when I do it because it's shocking to me that I can literally just be like, I'm done.
I think it has a purpose. And obviously, it's to keep you safe.
Right.
And I think where it comes from with your mom is look at all of the crazy life scenarios that she's been in. And so for her, that is her trauma response, you know, or her response to trauma, probably a little bit of PTSD thrown in to be like, well, this is how I put walls up and I protect myself.
Right.
I would not say it's the healthiest thing to do.
Oh, absolutely. Which is why I'm like, I don't want to just run away from our friend group because I honestly love everyone. And when we are together and having a good time, it is truly a good time. We've all traveled together and celebrated birthdays and important events. And it to me, it would just be such a waste to just be like, all right, well, that's it. We're done.
It is a waste because there's always a reason for everything.
Right.
And you got to look at yourself and say, okay, well, why am I just going to shut down? I'm going to take everything I know about this person, the sum of all the parts, and because one part did something that hurt me or that I didn't like, I'm now going to ignore all the rest of it.
Right.
And I know a lot of people that way, and that's, you know, how they get through life and they minimize hurt to themselves. But I think it's worth looking into to kind of dig into that hurt a little bit and actually feel those feelings that you're trying to avoid by shutting them out.
Mm-hmm.
The friend group, I think, is worth it to get a little messy.
Yeah.
Fuck. That's exhausting. Oh, I feel tired.
Oh, it is. Oh,
it is.
I'm not trying. Please believe I'm not trying to minimize it with a nice little summary. It's
right.
fucking work.
Mm-hmm.
Anything worth doing like that is going to be work, though.
Absolutely.
But it's just whether or not you choose to do it. Like
right.
This friend group, it's kind of been falling apart anyway, and we're kind of all going in different directions. Is it worth it for me to dig into my feels, examine myself, try to help someone else examine their self? Is it worth it? I think that's what you have to weigh out.
And I truly think it is. But like you said, it's just like, all right, we got to strap in and be ready to have some uncomfortable situations and conversations and be able to sit down and work through it. So
maybe it's going to take another mediator. I mean, if you are the shutdown lockout type, you can't be the mediator.
Right.
Because the mediator needs to be someone impartial who... maybe not even impartial, but at least has the capability of seeing all sides without shutting down on one of them.
Which I think is me because, I mean, as Holly, you and I have always said in our friendship and working relationship, I always see both sides.
Right.
And I can totally see where the couple that accused the one of not having a real relationship is coming from on why they would think that. I don't agree with them.
Right.
And I have voiced that to them because in this sort of ongoing saga, when I was sort of talking to the couple that accused the other couple of, you know, or not accused them, but, you know, said it's not a real relationship, I was like, well, Abe and I have talked about, you know, if we're on vacation somewhere and things are crazy and we both are very clear on what the scenario is, we could possibly have a third in our relationship. We've never done it, but we've talked about it. We haven't, you know, gotten to the like, yeah, we'll do it. But it's like, well, what if? I don't know. And then I'm like, I don't know. I'd be crazy. I feel like I would just be absolutely bonkers. And when I told a couple that, they were like, you, my God, you said that? And I'm like, listen, I don't know why you think that I'm like some, you know, church lady who would never do anything crazy. Like, it's a discussion we've had. It's an ongoing discussion that I don't know if we'll ever do it. But we talked about it. And they were just like, what?
Well, that's the thing, though. That's on them.
Right.
That's their fear. Mm-hmm. And think about it. So you can be a jealous person.
Absolutely.
So it either comes down to jealousy and not feeling good enough and worrying that you're going to lose your partner, or a fear of ending up alone, because what if, you know, they're probably putting it in on their shoes. So they're like, okay, well, I could never have an open relationship because, you know, I've been hurt before, and maybe they even had one before and they know it ended badly. Like, there's so many reasons why someone would think that. But the point of that is, it's not for you to decide what is a real couple.
It's not your life.
It isn't. And I mean, if it doesn't work for you, that's fine.
Mm-hmm. Don't do it.
Then don't do it.
Right.
But you do not need to pass judgment on someone who is, because it works for them.
Right.
And even if it's not working for them, why the fuck do you care? You're not in their bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
They're not paying your Duke energy bill.
Okay. So I think the thing is that everyone's getting a little triggered from their own insecurities and their own stuff.
Dang.
I can't think of the right word. What?
I'm gonna have to bring him on the podcast. We're gonna talk about it. We're
that would
talk
be
about it.
Amazing. No. I would sit here for that.
I would be fucking leaned. I could mediate that shit. That could be my practice round for when I open my therapy practice. I'm just kidding.
No, they would never agree to that.
No,
but I will tell you, once I do chat with him.
Gotta hit him, Mike.
Yeah. Oh God, no, I would never do that. But maybe I would think about it.
Ha
anybody have anything else you wanna chat about before we go? We got about 5 minutes left.
I don't think we could ever talk about something for just 5 minutes.
No, that's true.
No. All right, cool.
I think well, that's all it. I have. What's this
that's
weekend?
It.
I'm going to Busch Gardens.
You're going to Busch Gardens? Fun.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Mary comes in this weekend.
Oh, wow. Mary comes into town, your long-distance girlfriend.
Yes. Comes in tomorrow.
Yes,
absolutely.
I've been really trying.
I have been really trying.
No. Hashtag Boom City.
Boom City.
Y'all going to get it?
I mean, I hope so. It's been a while.
Yeah.
You know, that's a, well, we're not getting
it. No, go ahead.
I'm just saying, you know, it's weird being 23 when, like, I feel like my, you know, my hormones, my body system is like, I'm at a peak state.
Mm.
And so when you're in a distance and you can't, you know, activate your peak state all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes a little frustrating. Not frustrating. It's difficult.
Let's play a little uncomfortable game.
All right, let's do it. Oh, great.
I kind of miss this music, I'll be honest with you. We should bring it back.
Y'all want to play Throwback Throwdown on the show? We'll bring it back for a couple episodes.
No, I don't want that. No. That's terrible at it. It's not even fun to play.
We need to switch the game. We'll come up with some more
it's
games.
It's not even fun to play. I just feel bad.
Yikes.
Let's play How Often Does Sky to the Body Have Personal Time?
Oh.
Wow, that's a good game.
So let's do, are you pretty average about how many times a day this happens?
How does he know what is average?
I'm sorry, not average, but how many, so I can tell you about usual how many times a day I do it.
I mean, I'll just be on, like, I
don't, wait, hold on. Holly.
Yeah, what?
What's your guess? How often or how many times a day does Scott do on about on average?
I think once a day.
Once a day?
Yeah.
I think actually, I'm going to say if he can, It's two, sometimes three times. Holly, it's possible. It's, girl.
Anything's possible.
All right.
Scott?
No, definitely average is once a day.
Yeah. Oh, I get a prize. Yeah.
What prize do you want, Holly?
I don't know. Nothing. I don't want a prize. Never mind. Nope.
Once a day. Okay.
Yeah, that's about it.
That's it?
I mean, yeah, very, like, every now and then, maybe twice, but yeah, once.
Now, is this like morning before you get to work or like evening?
My alarm goes off at 3 a.m. There is no way that's like, no. I'm in the morning, I'm trying to get breakfast, brush my teeth, and get over here to start working.
I'll tell you what, when I was single, girl, before work, there is nothing like waking you up.
No,
because as soon as I wake up, I'm in work mode. I'm like, all right.
I was in work mode, too.
No.
Like, I'm in different kind of work.
I'm like trying to get here as fast as possible. My mind's racing. I'm like, okay, what can I do to get better today? Let me get some good fruit in my body and keep moving. I don't want to take 5 minutes, 10 minutes.
10 minutes?
I don't know.
Girl, if it was in the morning time, you put on something real quick.
Y'all doing 10 minutes. Jesus.
Now, that's what I don't do in the morning. That's not my routine.
Sometimes
I don't
want to
be
sensual with yourself. I don't know.
And then
if
my mind starts thinking about, oh, this is taking too long. Nope.
Yeah.
Then I'm going to stress about that. Then it throws off everything.
Oh, dear.
I tell you what, this week, Abe has been home painting stuff in the house. And usually if I do get time, somebody's in the hallway, it will be like it would be in the afternoon when I get home from work. But he's been home all this past 2 weeks, and he's always like, hey, welcome home. And I'm like, man, am I going to get some time?
No.
Maybe it's just when I had that, when I had my boo thing,
Anytime's a good time.
Okay, well.
I mean,
it's a little bit different when it comes to gay people.
Well, yeah,
because
but you could just do. That.
Like, if my partner. Yeah,
that's fine.
I love that. I do that.
I'm going home.
I can't.
But yeah, if your partner's there, it's like, then you just have a. That's better than just myself.
A little afternoon delight.
I know. But see, to me, I feel like for us and my relationship, like, when we are together and we do it intimately, like, that's, like, a special. Like, it's a special occasion. But, like, when it's, like, middle of Wednesday, it's, like, I've been at work. I ain't taking a shower. I'm just trying to look at some escapism for 10 or 15 minutes and see some crazy people do some crazy stuff that I'll never do in my life and then just get to the top of the mountain, call it a day, and keep on moving, go to CrossFit. That's what I'm trying
to
do.
I'm dying to know.
Yeah.
Damn.
Okay.
All right.
I was going to take it one step further, but then I'll just stop there. Holly, what's all of your social media?
Radio Holly on Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, whatever. Facebook is Holly on Hot 101.5.
Stop it.
Scott, what's all your...
Oh, my gosh. At Scott Tavlin on everything. S-T-O... Wait, what? Whoa.
Do you know how to spell your name?
Now I do.
S-C-O-T-T...
T-A-V-L-I-N.
There we go. Miguel Fuller, MIGUELFULLER. You can find me on TikTok, Twitter, Instagram. And if you want to find me on Facebook, just facebook.com/RadioMiguel. You can always download the Hot 101.5 app and listen to us on there. Or if you want, on the iTunes podcast app, type in Miguel and Holly Uncensored. Make sure to rate and subscribe. Until next week, bye.